Which of us would like Jesus to come and find us in a compromising situation?
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will hear the concluding part of Pastor Brian Grant's message on the Marriage Supper of the Lamb as recorded in Revelation chapter 19. Last week, Pastor Grant pointed out how this marriage in heaven importantly follows the same four-stage marriage process of the traditional Jewish wedding Jesus himself modeled right here on earth. So join us now and be blessed as Pastor Grant brings the conclusion of his message, Invitation to a Royal Wedding.
Sometimes we think of the rapture only as Bible prophecy. And oh, I pray this morning that the Spirit of God will open our eyes to see that the rapture is not just Bible prophecy. Because if that's all we do, we will miss the thrill of the event. The rapture is going to be a thrilling event. Just remember, this is the event. This is one of the biggest events in the greatest love story ever told. For it's when the lover of our souls appear in the clouds to take home his bride. Are you getting it? The rapture. Just think of the excitement when the groom in the Jewish context would now finally be going to take his bride to his home and have the supper and the consummation. Can you imagine his excitement, his joy? And can you understand the excitement when Jesus Christ, the lover of our souls, is coming to take his bride to his home? You know, when I was dating Cheryl, she lived in a rural part of Jamaica. Honey, I didn't get permission to tell the story, but I'm going to tell it anyhow. She lived in a rural part of Jamaica. And I was a city boy. To visit her, I'd have to travel about 90 minutes on very winding. They said, call it the junction road. It's just one turn after another. Very winding, very narrow, very dark road. Ain't no street lights most of the way. Country roads with very little light. And to be honest, normally I would not ever go there by myself. Because that was a scary little place. All them twists and turns. In the night, I would never have done it, but I was bitten by the love bug. And because I was bitten by the love bug, I was willing to risk my life. Sharon, say amen. All right. I was willing to risk my life just to be with her. Take my version of the story. Listen, the rapture will be a time of rapturous joy. For Jesus will be coming for his bride, and those of us who are part of his bride will be able to see him face to face for the first time. You ever stop to think of that? We will be seeing him for the first time. And my friend, immediately as that happens, our bodies are going to be totally transformed. Immediately as we see Jesus, our bodies will be totally transformed. You said, Pastor, where do you like to make this stuff up? 1 John chapter 3. And I hope you're getting the thrill of it, because sometimes the rapture is just theological. Oh, it's going to be the rapture and it's going to be this, but we miss the excitement. 1 John chapter 3, behold, are you there? Say amen. 1 John chapter 3, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. We don't know what we're going to be, but here's what we know. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall what? See him as he is. The moment we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a thrill! Bible goes on to say, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Amen. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Any Christian who truly grabs hold of our hope in Christ will live clean. Are you getting what the scripture is saying? When we grab a hold of this hope, we will purify ourselves. We will live clean. We won't be half-stepping. Which of us would like Jesus to come and find us in a compromising situation? Is that what we want? The Savior, who has been preparing a place for us, finally comes for his bride, and he finds us in a compromising situation. My God, help us that we will not be found in that position. Everyone, the scripture says, who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Hallelujah. The groom is pure. He's keeping himself unspotted. Might we keep ourselves pure? Amen. But then the big question we have to ask, do you have this hope? He says, anyone who has this hope. I believe somewhere in this audience, there's some people who don't have this hope because you're not really sure if Jesus were to come, you would be changed that day and you'd be taken with him. And if you don't have that hope, I pray that today you will have this incredible hope. The rapture will be an incredibly thrilling event. And don't mind me, every now and then some of the old songs pop in my mind. And as I'm thinking here, it's the thrill. What a thrill. But unlike B.B. King, we'll never say the thrill is gone. Amen? We will never say that. Forget this. After the rapture, the royal wedding will take place. After the rapture, the royal wedding will take place. Put this in your notes. We're now talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb. The marriage supper of the Lamb. After the rapture, Jesus will take us home to the place he has prepared for us in his Father's home. And when we get there, there will be a great supper. It tracks exactly like how Jewish weddings would. There will be a great supper. The Bible calls it the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that was read to us in Revelation chapter 19. And let's just read back to verse number 6. And I heard Revelation 19, verse number 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship. He fell at his feet of the angel to worship. But he said, see that you do not do that, because I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. He says, worship God. He's the only one deserving worship. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. This, write this in your notes, the marriage supper of the Lamb is for everyone who has repented of their sin and received Christ as their Savior. And if you have not repented yet, I trust you will. You know, this Christmas, Cheryl and I went to the Academy of Music to listen to Handel's Messiah. It was my first time actually listening to the whole thing. And when they got to this part, the Alleluia chorus, I could feel goosebumps as the orchestra and the choir broke into just an amazing rendition of the Alleluia chorus. But the excitement I felt will be nothing compared to the pure joy of being at the marriage of the Lamb. And notice in verse 6, the words the Bible uses to describe the joy of the angels. Did you notice it? Verse 6 describes the joy of the angels and of God's entire creation. He says in verse 6, I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. The marriage supper of the Lamb, write this down, the marriage supper of the Lamb will create tremendous joy and excitement in heaven. All heaven is going to be excited, it's going to be thrilled. But the big reason for heaven's excitement is not only that the Lord is reigning, although it points out that he's reigning, but the excitement is not about his reign, for he has always been reigning. The big reason for the excitement in heaven is the marriage of Christ to his church. And I don't want us to miss that. This is a big, big deal. It's a big, big deal to God. It's a big deal to creation. It's a big deal to all the angelic beings. The marriage of Christ to his church. But there's another important aspect that must take place. What did we say about these marriages? When the groom goes to get his bride, and he goes back to the home he has prepared. What do they do? There's a supper. Uh-huh. And what next? Consummation. Do you realize there's going to be consummation? Mm-hmm. I don't know if we ever talked about this. But there's going to be consummation. You cannot have a marriage without consummation. Put this down, the consummation. The consummation. There will be no, I know where people's minds are. So can I clarify this for you? There will be no need for sex in heaven. For the God who made sex has a plan in place to ensure that the consummation of the marriage of Christ and his church will provide, listen to me, more ecstasy than what the happiest couple on earth have ever experienced. You know, some people have never been married and they feel they have missed out. I want to tell you that what God has in store will provide more ecstasy than the happiest couple on earth has ever experienced. He said, the God who made what people think is all that, people killing themselves, God made sex, and the God who made sex has something far more incredible. And in case you don't even know what ecstasy is, let me put this on the board. Here's ecstasy. Ecstasy is an overwhelming feeling of great happiness and joyful excitement. Amen. And God is going to fill our hearts every single day. Hallelujah. Every single day we will be filled with an overwhelming feeling of great happiness and joyful excitement. Listen, we will have a thrill that will never ever go out. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, in Ephesians chapter 5, I referenced this once before. I was a little bit very interested once when I was reading this passage in Ephesians chapter 5. Because, you know, we always only use this passage to talk about when we counsel husbands and wives to tell how a husband and a wife should behave. But if you look here at Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to pick up reading at verse 15 and I'm going to go to verse 32. But Ephesians chapter 5, I want to start reading at verse 15. No, verse 25. It says here, Ephesians 5, 25, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church. And right now, he's speaking about husband, me and you, right? Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So it tells us that this is that he might sanctify and cleanse. This is what the Lord did. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. So in other words, the Lord nourishes and cherishes the church. Amen. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of this his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave in his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Amen. This is a great mystery. So who is he speaking about? When he says in verse number 31, which is often misunderstood, he says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Hey, he's not speaking about a man and a woman, although a man and a woman should follow the example. But look at who he says he's specifically speaking to. A man is to leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. They'll become one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning who? Christ and the church. Are you getting it? Christ and the church. No, hey, we better, husbands, we better do this too, because this is the example that he's giving us. But he's saying, I'm speaking about Christ and the church. The marriage of Christ to his bride will provide ecstasy beyond our wildest imagination. And sadly, too many Christians miss this. And we wonder, I hear this conversation. What are we going to do in heaven? Are we going to just sing all day long? What are we going to do? We're going to just float around in heaven. What are we going to do? What are we going to do forever and ever? What are we going to do? God is saying, get it, in heaven, as the groom, he is going to see to it that our hearts are bubbling with ecstasy every day, forever and ever, an overwhelming feeling of great happiness and joyful excitement every day. Amen. Aren't you glad you're a Christian? Aren't you glad you're a Christian? Aren't you glad the best is still ahead? Amen. The best is still ahead for the child of God. What a hope we have in Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad I'm saved. Have you received him? On the front of today's bulletin, there's an invitation. It has an invitation. If you see it, it says, invitation. By the way, I didn't come up with this, but as I saw it, I said, what an interesting way to give an invitation. It says here, an invitation to a royal wedding. And today, if you have not made your reservation, God is inviting every person listening under the sound of my voice. There's an invitation to a royal wedding.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.